This is Marketing Jam, a show featuring the brightest minds in marketing.
Brought to you by Canada Post. Head to canadapost.ca/insightpodcast for ideas to add value to your marketing.
Well, I'm going to welcome you to the Marketing Jam show. We're really, really excited to have Nick Routley here from Visual Capitalist. Am I saying that right?
You got it, yeah.
Okay, very cool, very cool. So he is the creative director. He is the genius behind some of the infographics that you've probably seen, you've probably shared, you might even tag someone that you work with on. So we're gonna dive into what does infographics mean for marketing today, what does it mean for PR today, and how can we as marketers and agency folks and brand representatives take advantage of infographics today. So Nick, we're gonna start with what I love to find out about is your origin story.
Yeah.
So how did you end up where you are today in the position? Because we have some of our listeners that are marketing students,
right,
or some of those that are like, hey, how do you go, software side, or how do you go kind of brand side, and how do you go agency side? And you're in a unique position where you're actually able to create some amazing visuals for all sorts of brands.
Right.
So tell us how you got to where you are.
Sure, yeah. It's sort of, I wish I could say that I had some sort of grand vision for how everything would turn out now, but it was really organic. Mm-hmm. I was a designer that was just out of school recently. Mm-hmm. I was working at a couple different places. Yeah. And one of the things I was doing outside of work was I was really interested in creating graphics for that told stories about media and using data. And one of the things I would do is create a graphic about something I thought was interesting, and I would go to something like Vancouver's Awesome, mm-hmm, or Van City Buzz, mm-hmm, when Daily Hive was that, yeah, and just say, hey, I made this. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to write an article around it, go for it.
Cool.
And I would do things like that. And that caught the attention of our founder, Jeff Desjardins, and he approached me and said, hey, I have this idea of using infographics to explain complicated things, mm-hmm, particularly in the resource space where there's a lot of data, the properties are complicated, the drill results are complicated. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, hey, what if we could do this with infographics? Right now they just do wire releases, mm-hmm, which are just text, and maybe we can spice that up. And I said, well, yeah, obviously that's something I'm into. And it didn't take long before I was employee number one at Visual Capitalist, mm-hmm, when it was a very different thing at the time.
And when was this?
This would have been the beginning of 2012, I think, is when I got hired on. And we were very much still more of a design agency, mm-hmm, at that time. Mm-hmm. And over time that evolved. So.
And you did a stint at Popcorn, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So. Yeah. So I concurrently co-ran the agency, yeah, and worked at Visual Capitalist, yeah, for a number of years, yeah, actually. And both of them grew.
Yeah.
And I also had a kid and things like that.
Wow.
So I had to simplify my life a little bit,
yeah,
and just made some decisions to roll with Visual Capitalist.
Yeah.
So I think the future is looking pretty bright. So
that's awesome. So yeah. Speaking of simplifying information, there's a thread on Reddit called Tell It To Me Like I'm Five.
Yeah.
Right? So in a sense, would you say what you do is telling people like they're five, like explaining it to me like I'm five type of thing? Or would you say it's a little bit older? Would you say explaining it to people like they're 12?
Right. I think it's nice to hit both levels. Like think about really good kids movies, like a Pixar movie or something, right? Like it hits on a couple of levels.
Yep.
The kids can have a laugh, mm-hmm, but the parents can watch it and enjoy themselves, mm-hmm, too, right?
Yeah.
So we try and do that a lot with our infographics, okay, where there's something quick and punchy, so somebody scanning their social feed or whatever can look at it and go, oh, that's cool, and move, mm-hmm, on, whatever, mm-hmm, that's fine. But somebody who is an expert, maybe somebody on Wall Street or whatever, mm-hmm, like we're talking about stocks and things, they, yeah, can dig in and get some more information out of it as well.
Yeah.
So we try and satisfy on both levels. Okay. So sometimes we really are just having a quick, punchy thing.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
So speaking of trends in infographics, do you remember the time when whiteboard videos were really popular?
Oh, yeah.
And there was one company in particular that was really famous for doing their whiteboard videos explaining everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you as a company could go to them and they would make a really awesome whiteboard video.
Yeah.
And these days you can go to Fiverr.com and they'll, yeah, do whiteboard videos for you. So what are you thinking? What has happened with that trend of whiteboard videos and,
right,
sticky tab videos compared to what you guys are doing now? What do you think's happened?
Yeah, and like that trend you described, eventually things like drill down towards zero, right? Or they drill down to the lowest common denominator, the quickest, dirtiest way of doing it. And you can do the same thing with infographics too. You can go on Fiverr, you can...
Canva has an infographic setting now?
Sure, yeah, totally. And there are things that'll like make simple infographics for you. Or you can go to Shutterstock and buy a set or something.
Yeah,
And that's fine, and that works for some people, mm-hmm. for sure. But it's also like you can get like really cheap content writing, mm-hmm. or you can hire somebody who's like a real like journalist or like an accomplished writer or something, right? And it just depends on what your goals are.
Yeah.
If you just need a quick and dirty infographic for your site to like explain some stats and stuff, I mean, power to you. You know, maybe that Fiverr option is great, right?
Yeah.
But if you're looking to create an infographic that'll get picked up on media, which is often like a brand's goal, you're going to want to go the extra mile. You're going to want an experienced designer or illustrator or whatever to work on that, probably. Yeah. So.
And what do you think happened with whiteboard videos? Like, are they still relevant today, or are they? Is there a purpose to them?
I think they can be cool. Mm-hmm. It really depends, right? Like. I have most of the time. Mm-hmm. I think they're sort of a distraction, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, I see one, and I mean, probably TED Talk ones, TEDx or no, sorry, TED Ed ones are probably the best, where they really roll. Yeah. And then at the very end, they zoom out to that big picture one. But I think that's probably the artist is really good. Mm-hmm. So they like erase stuff and redraw it and things like that. And there's like kind of a performance element to it.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you get a cheap one done, there's like a superimposed hand, right? And it moves around and stuff. Yeah. So like I think people who appreciate nuance are still gonna love like a really well done whiteboard video by like an accomplished artist who has like a bit of a performance element to it, right?
Yeah.
So it's still relevant if done by a professional, right?
Yeah.
So
speaking of Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner,
the
famous saying in there, you know, if you build it, they will come, right? I mean, he makes the baseball diamond and baseball stars are supposed to come, and sure enough, they do out of the cornfields.
Yes.
But I've met a lot of people who have made really great infographics or invested in a really amazing visual, and then they didn't know what to do with it. It sat there, and no one saw it. Like, six people saw it, their grandma looked at it. So how do you get these infographics out there? Like, distribution, seen, heard, and just they go viral. For lack of a better term.
Yeah, and so like you've touched on exactly how Visual Capitalist became a media company. We started off as a design agency, and we were creating infographics for brands. And we were really frustrated on a continual basis about how much ROI people are getting out of the infographic, because they're not cheap to make. They take a long time. There's a lot of research.
What's an average one? What would you give that you guys are charging?
So here's the thing. We don't really do a lot of like one-off infographics anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean, if your project's cool and our audience will find it interesting.
Yeah.
We probably do one for 5 to 10,000, I guess.
5 to 10,000. Okay. So if someone's investing that much.
Yeah.
How do they get it seen and heard and interacted with?
Yeah, so at this point, like we are the distribution mechanism.
Yep. Your website.
Yeah, like everything we do, like think about us as a media company with that heavily uses design elements.
Like BuzzFeed, would you compare yourself to them?
Yeah, and in some ways we are similar to BuzzFeed, particularly on the monetization model.
Yep.
Like we don't really have very many display ads. Like we're not peppering our site with videos and like to take over things and stuff like that. We have sponsored content and we work with people who also have an interesting story to tell with data. It's clearly marked as a company thing. But because most of our audience is like business and investment, they're not really worried about it being a sponsored piece in the way that like the general public would be. They go, okay, cool, that company sponsored this thing, that's fine. But right now, we would create a piece to put it out. We have syndication deals with places like World Economic Forum, Business Insider, all these things. We've got media contacts in a bunch of different brands around the U.S. and internationally. I mean, we collaborate with companies like Politico, Forbes. We're doing a lot of stuff with right now.
Yeah.
So when we release a piece, if it's something that other third-party media sites are interested in, they'll pick it up, and we fully encourage people to share everything. Whether we made it or whether it's a branded thing, go for it. And that's been our philosophy right from the start, is to let people leverage our graphics in their own stories. So
and as far as tracking, can you guesstimate like one of your most successful infographics, the amount of impressions it got or the reach that it got?
probably our most successful piece would have been one about, so really it's about Walmart.
Yeah.
But the data is the biggest employer in each state. Mm-hmm. And that's one that really, I hate using the term viral, but that one truly just like took on a life of its own.
Yeah.
The Walmart's a top employer in like 21, 22 states or something like that, which is pretty wild.
I know that.
And that's the thing. Like, we didn't know that either. Yeah. And when we found out, we're like, oh, this has to be a piece because I don't think anyone else knows either. And it sort of became part of the narrative, right?
And you guys sign your infographics with your brand. Right?
Yeah,
your
we always have.
Logo and your name with the weird binoculars pig, right? You know, no offense. But
no, it is weird, for sure.
Weird logo. Have you ever seen it where people have screenshot it and cut out your logo and your signature as an artist?
Yeah, for sure. It doesn't happen a lot because, especially now, because the brand, I guess, has some cachet and people, anytime, a lot of infographics are bad.
Mm-hmm.
So anything you can do to add legitimacy to an infographic, I think people like, right? Yeah. And I think that our brand has become a bit of a stamp of legitimacy for like research and quality and things like that. When something gets shared enough, it gets cropped off and all kinds of weird things happen to it. And people put their own weird notations on there. And you can really see the mutation, which is fun to look at.
Yeah. But it's like the remix.
Totally, it's the remix, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I'm a company, I own cat sweaters, right? And I've got all this great research on cat sweaters, which is kind of the analogy for all, you know, a general widget company.
Sure.
How can we get a infographic done by Visual Capitalist? What's the process to convince you?
Yeah, so I guess the first step would be, is there some angle that our audience would be interested in the cat sweater market?
Okay, yeah.
And it doesn't have to be everybody.
Yeah.
But is there like a segment of our audience that'll get something out of that?
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean?
And if they are, for some reason, they're really into cats.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Or they're like investing in clothing and the cat market is growing or whatever it is.
Yeah,
right?
With all the cold front happening and they're
Like everything on our site is usually through like a financial lens or something like that. So does our audience like it is always step one.
Yeah.
Is the data robust enough? Yeah. Like, do we have like a proper story to tell?
Yeah.
Nobody likes like bullet point infographics that are like, here's a percentage, here's a percentage, here's a percentage. I mean, then it's just like, just make it a list, you know?
Yeah.
So, is the data good? Is the brand a brand we want to work with as well, right? Like, sometimes there's a red flag there.
Yeah.
It's really about it. And then the rest comes down to just like budget and collaboration and all that.
And then would my company pay you guys to do it, a fee to design it, get it out there?
Right. So there's a couple ways that there's a couple ways it could work.
Yeah.
Sometimes we will create something as like an editorial project.
Yes. Sometimes
we can use company data for that if it's good and they're willing to put it out into the public realm.
Yep.
Sometimes we'll just research it ourselves and it'll be just like a really pure sponsorship. Like they just want to have their name associated with like the article, if you will.
And you'll do the surveys, you'll do the research yourselves, or do you always use third-party researchers?
A bit of both. I mean, we do leverage third-party research a lot. And there's a lot of really good research out there that companies like, say, McKinsey, who we're working with.
Ipsos Reid.
Yeah, it totally. Yeah, and like Gallup and all those. And we use polls a lot. The article went out a couple of days ago where we leaned on a lot of different polls to tell a story. Because especially when you aggregate them, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we use all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we have like a pretty heavy duty database of where we can go to find out certain information and which ones, when they don't work out, we remove them from our database and things like that. So
there's something powerful I'm finding in where PR is trending is when you can come. To an editor and actually have data with the article and ideally even a graph to show with the article.
Yeah.
It's such a great pairing.
Yes.
Yeah. So would you, do you guys write articles as well that go along with them? Or do you leave that up to the publications to write the articles like Forbes and Globe and Mail, for example?
Right. That's a good question. We do write our own articles along with it. Because some people like to read. I love to read. I really like long form articles, which kind of is a weird thing for me because I don't actually read infographics a lot myself, except just to like analyze them.
Yeah.
So we do have articles with it. And there's ways that you can explain the graphic, so there's a really good interplay, especially over the years we've honed that down to a way where we can interplay between the graphic and the writing.
Okay.
We can inject links and things in there too, so people can jump around. So we have that on there. if we have a syndication deal with somebody, mm-hmm. they can just take that article, yeah. and they do automatically.
Yeah.
So it'll just get republished on different places. Something like Forbes would probably write a different article around it. We collaborated with them on their NBA valuation piece that just went out today.
So every NBA program in North America?
What they did is they have like a methodology that ranks the NBA teams by like what they're worth.
Oh, wow.
In a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty cool. That's where they would use the graphics that we created and write an article around it. We'll take those graphics. We'll probably write our own article around it using their data. And there's like a really nice relationship there.
That's really cool.
And people are welcome to take things and share them on social or write an article around it or whatever they want to do. So
I need to ask, Pinterest seems to be like the place where all infographics are shared and distributed. Yeah. Do you guys, is that still true today? Is Pinterest like your best friend because infographics love to be there and they seem to kind of, I don't know, grow and multiply in that realm?
Right. Pinterest is funny. Like, I think it would be more effective if our target audience was more of a Pinterest target audience.
Okay, but that's not your... Are you like the business BidNaz version of Pinterest, where Pinterest is more like crafts and parties and recipes? You're like business and data and...
Yeah, basically, we're just sort of that other...
I don't want to put words in your mouth, I'm just...
No, but you're right though. And like some of the, there is like a subsection of people like that on Pinterest who just like data viz or like infographics and that'll work.
And there's some business ones on Pinterest, but you're like Pinterest in a suit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. We do think about the way people find these things too. Mm-hmm. We think about Google image search a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that Google image search is one of the reasons we've been able to grow so quickly is because people optimize their SEO for text, but they pair an article with like a stock image that they spent maybe 2 minutes thinking about. Yeah.
But you're all about the image and getting it seen and heard. And
yes, yeah. Our goal is that when people try and find information, if they flip over to Google image search, then our stuff comes up. Okay. So,
well, I need to talk about how we met and got connected, which is the tell me about the infographic that we talked about where we got connected.
Yeah, right. So that's a recent piece where we. That's an interesting one too, because we had a hole in our editorial calendar, and we had a couple things sitting there that we weren't super psyched about. So I went hunting to look for an idea of something to create an article around, and one of the data sets I stumbled upon was an old one that the Washington Post did, maybe 2014 or something like that, that just showed the biggest websites over time, or the biggest web properties over time.
Which is a fascinating thing, right?
Super fascinating.
Yeah, to the point where I shared your infographic on my LinkedIn, which caused a lot of noise.
That's good.
Including like, where's Netflix and where's this site? And to the point where, and then someone mentioned, hey, these guys are in Vancouver. This is so great. It's nice to see a Vancouver company's infographic getting so much attention.
Yeah, for sure. We love it when, it's funny. We love it when people locally notice that things are going well, which doesn't happen a lot, but biggest web properties over time, like, I'm a little bit older. For me, it's super fascinating looking back at some of those old ones and going like, and remembering when GeoCities was
on
the top sites.
I had a GeoCities. I built one. Did you build one?
What was your GeoCities about?
It was actually about Gold Bond, which is this powder that it was just this like really nice
medicated
powder.
Medicated powder.
Yeah. So we had a and my friend Andy Rains, I think he was at Vega for a while, but Andy Rains was my friend and he built a GeoCities about boxing.
Nice.
And we used to work on it in his basement there in Tawasin, where I grew up.
And you know, that was a really super fascinating era of the internet too, because you could just build, I learned HTML over a weekend and I built a page as well. Yeah. I think homestead.com or something.
And there was Angel Fire.
Yeah. Yeah, and like all of my friends were on Agent Avenue, and everybody would just have a custom code, and like snowflakes would follow your cursor around. It was a hilarious era. Yeah. So for me to look back and remember some of those big sites and how there's one called like Emer Greetings or something like that, which is basically Christmas time, you just send people like an e-card.
Yeah. Okay.
And in 1998, that alone was enough to get you into one of the top 20 websites in the world, right? Just to send greetings. Yeah, yeah. So just shows like how far the web has developed since then and just seeing the sites over time.
Yeah.
And the fact that things like Yahoo are still top web properties today.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah.
There's a Yahoo piece coming out too, yeah, because so many people were like, what, Yahoo?
Yeah, so. Yeah, because that was a lot of, and what I found interesting was the amount of people who wanted to poke holes in it, but I was like, no, this is actual data, and they wanted to disagree with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they had their opinions from their perspective, their vantage point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, like, we all get in that mode sometimes where we have an opinion. We go, that can't possibly be right. Yeah. And I actually like seeing that kind of dialogue in the comment section or when things go on Reddit or you know, that's where things really get picked apart.
And do you often go over and see your work on Reddit?
I sometimes don't look at the comments, but you know.
Did that piece end up on Reddit, I assume?
Our pieces tend to do really well on Reddit. Yeah. I think we've been on the front page about 10 times at this point.
Wow, that's really cool.
And that obviously that ends up being a really good traffic driver when that happens. But you know, but yeah, I like seeing those comments because you get to go okay, why do people think this, right? Like, why is this such like a tightly held belief? Yeah. And maybe there's some sort of data out there that explains that, right? Mm-hmm. Like we did a piece really recently on perception of crime in America.
Yeah.
Okay. So most people think that. And the polls support this, that crime is going up all the time. And when crime is just tanking, and it has been for like 2 decades now.
Wow. So you get political in what you guys do.
We try not to get partisan.
Okay, yeah.
We're not scared to you know, talk about political things. It's not really our angle a lot of the time, just because it's like really, it can get real toxic.
Yeah.
But anything that's big picture that affects people's lives, we'll dive into. Sure.
So the Canadian elections coming up next year, this year actually, do you think you'll be talking about it and using some of the polls from, you know, Angus Reid or?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. At the moment, it's tough for us to segment something specifically on Canada.
Okay.
We will again though, because we want to talk about Canada. We're here, right? Right now though, things tend to be either globally focused or U.S. focused.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. We're at a stage this year where we've grown to where we are now by publishing one thing a day.
Yeah. Is that your schedule? One a day.
One a day.
One a day. Okay.
Maybe once in a while there's two, but there's one a day. Whereas some of these other sites, like a Business Insider, publishes like 400 articles a day or something
or
like that.
Or Forbes now, you can be a contributor to Forbes.
For sure.
And submit things, and who knows how many articles a day are getting put up there now.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. And I mean, obviously there's room for us to publish more than one thing a day, and this year we'll probably do that. Yeah. And within that, hopefully we can do things like talk about places in Europe or Canada or Australia or, you know what I mean, where we have an audience as well. So
it's really cool. Yeah. So as far as virality is concerned, you know, what I love about the internet today is that, it's not, it's quite democratic, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, everyone has the option and the opportunity to go wild, right?
And
get out. What are you finding is the best catalyst? Like, is it Reddit? Is it Forbes? Like, what are you finding kind of gets your infographics, you know, the eyeballs?
Probably... I mean, yeah, Reddit, when a thing blows up on Reddit, Reddit's a unique animal. I really like it. Everybody uses it as their touch point to find new things, because it's just constantly... that'll get things going. Yeah. Zero Hedge. Have you ever heard of Zero Hedge?
No.
Yeah, a lot of people haven't heard of Zero Hedge, but it's a big site, though. Okay. I think they're one of the top 1,000 sites in the States or something.
Yeah.
Like, really weird finance focus. Yeah. But they... That's a place where if they pick up our work within people who are interested in like money and things like that, that'll take off and do interesting things. Facebook and LinkedIn especially has been a huge growth driver for us in the last couple of years. People are just using LinkedIn a lot and they're sharing content on it, which is for a while I didn't think that would happen, but it looks like it's finally matured into like a platform like that now.
Yeah, it's amazing. You can now upload videos to LinkedIn. And,
that's right.
And I'm finding it, even from us as an agency, we're getting more traffic from LinkedIn than any other social channel.
Nice. And I'm flipping questions at you.
No.
So like, do clients ask for that? Or is that something you suggest usually? Like, does that usually come from you?
Comes from us, because usually it's kind of like has been this sleeping giant for so long.
Okay.
But on the B2B sector, you know, your B2B marketing, if you're posting interesting content, it's the most engagement I get amongst all my channels.
Right.
Because it's people who are there who are like, they're typically smart, interesting people, and they want something meaty. Mm-hmm. So if you're willing to put out something meaty and contextually in the world of business or marketing or, you know, thoughts about where the future of, you know, industries are going. It's a place where there's dialogue as mm-hmm. compared to Instagram or Facebook or Snap.
Yeah, so, right.
LinkedIn has a really strategic place. And I think LinkedIn, of all the sites, social sites, I think it's going to have, I think, one of the most strongest 2019s.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. It still feels like it's growing, which is like kind of unusual. Yeah. All the sites feel like they're plateaued, I feel like, anyway. Yeah. I don't know if you feel the same way, but like Instagram, I can't imagine what it would be like to try and build like a new, like a fresh account and try and grow it, because just nobody is in that mode of like, oh, I'm going to follow a new account.
It's so noisy already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or people just have so many followers, they're like, oh, I don't want to, they get a little more stingy with it.
No, it's very true. We, especially running Instagram contests, as of late, we're finding less and less people are willing to go to the brand site and follow it as part of entering the contest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they'll engage with the influencer or the media property that's promoting the contest, but they'll rarely go and actually like the brand unless they're really putting out some great, incredible content.
Yeah, that makes sense. Influencers are definitely the gatekeeper, hey?
Yeah. So as far as getting the, have you ever found any B2B influencers? Speaking of influencers.
So there's a lot of thought leadership, which I think is the probably the closest thing to that. And, you know, the thought leader personalities on especially on Twitter but LinkedIn as well. They are looking for interesting stuff to share, right? And, we try and be that interesting thing to share. It's a little bit different from like a news article. Yeah. It's got a little bit, you know, it's a little splashier. You can plug an image in there. Yeah.
You feel cool. You posted something neat.
Yeah. And people find it through through thought leaders all the time. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's actually one I didn't think of earlier, which is like those people often have huge audiences, huge engaged audiences. Yeah. So they really get things going as well. So.
Do you purposefully seed like, okay, we're going to give this infographic a day earlier. We're going to give it to these 30 people with a little VIP thing and be like, hey, you 30 thought leaders in the B2B sector, here's our infographic. We want you to be the first to see it. Mm-hmm. Do you guys do that at the moment?
Not really, just because everyone's already kind of sharing it. It's not to say that if in the future we do have something that we worked really hard on, we want to make a bit of a splash with it. Like we've been lucky that we've had like really organic traction for almost everything. Yeah. So we haven't really had to think hard about techniques like that.
Yeah.
But I imagine that at some point, as our marketing team continues to grow and things like that as well, that we'll get more strategic and, also with directly pitching media as well, which we don't do a lot of right now. So, okay.
And coming down the pipe, what is a graphic that you're really excited about? What's something maybe that's brewing or that you're working on?
There's always so many things. I personally am excited about the Yahoo one that's going to come out. I think that's going to be really cool. We're working with Forbes on their annual billionaires list.
Yeah.
Which was probably one of their flagship things. So that'll be really exciting. Cool. We'll get to experiment with some new things.
Yeah.
We're ramping up the amount of videos we're doing. Mm-hmm. So we're doing kind of a cool one on GDP growing in the future. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people realize like some of the countries that are coming up and how big the shifts are going to be, like in the relationship between countries at the top, you know, like the U.S. is kind of moving down a little bit, and some of all these Western countries are popping down the ladder, so to speak. So, I think people see that that'll be an interesting perspective for people. So,
cool. And listeners that are watching or listening to this, what would you suggest if they want to engage with you or get connected to what you guys are doing? What's the best way for them to reach out, or what's the best thing for them to send you to catch your attention?
I mean. Yeah, just shoot an email over to me. Twitter is the easiest way to get a hold of me, always. Mm-hmm. It's the most likely way to get a response because my inbox is like a disaster, as I'm sure a lot of people, you as well. We try and respond to a lot of the comments too on our site and on the social properties as well. So if people want to engage with us that way, you know, we'll probably get back to them.
And if they're prepping some data and they're really inspired by this, how should they go about getting data and collecting data? Like what does it need to have?
It needs to, I mean, the source is important. You know, does it pass your own, you know, smell test, right? Like, is this a real thing?
Like, could I survey 100 cat owners and give you some data on cat sweater ownership and hope you'll publish it.
My first instinct is to say like that data set's too small.
But it might not be
in some cases, right? Maybe you're thinking about financial company CEOs or something, in which case 100-person data set is fantastic, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe. It just depends on the size of the pond you're playing in, right?
Yeah. So. Very cool. And what are you most excited about for this coming year? What are you seeing down the pipe as far as the world of marketing and promotions and and data?
For us, we're excited because we've got a long-awaited site redesign coming. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a great way for people to just experience the content a little bit better than our the website we have now was our very first one that we switched to when we were experimenting with with becoming a media company. So it's long overdue for a redesign, so that's exciting.
Cool.
But what I'm excited about in like the big picture world of things is just the continued. Think about rap music, just to completely switch gears.
No, please.
Like pop music now, and a bunch of other things is heavily influenced by rap music. It just sort of mutated into all these different genres, right?
Yeah.
In the same way that like the long form infographic isn't going to be the future of what this company is or what, you know, visual communication is, right?
Yeah.
That's going to keep evolving into a whole bunch of different things. Articles are just going to be infused with data-oriented stuff. And more artwork, I think, injected into things too. I think people are just getting a little bit better at getting creative and having fun with things, and not just the interplay between the two. People are understanding that better. Like, and we focus that a lot on our team. So.
That's cool. Now, are you iOS or Android?
iOS. I'm Apple everything, and Apple. I always have been.
Okay.
Probably just because I'm lazy.
Okay. top three apps that you love on your iPhone.
I use Instagram a lot.
Yep.
I like my Pay by Phone app.
Oh yeah, I'm a huge fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Just,
game changer.
I don't drive a lot, but it really is useful.
Yeah.
Other one would be. Oh, I'm not sure. That's a tricky one. Google Analytics.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you go in there looking at your companies.
Always. I'm glued to the traffic numbers.
Yeah.
We don't chase traffic, but I really like to know where we're at
and
see just in case we have an influx of something. So,
very cool. And then your favorite podcasts, books, magazines that you recommend to listeners?
Oh, man. Okay. So I feel like I live in the Matrix sometimes because I'm constantly tapped into this like information tsunami.
Yeah.
Podcasts, I really like Pod Save the World. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Geopolitical type thing. You know, The Daily is a good one. I sometimes queue that up on Google Home while I'm, you know, getting the kid ready for school just to find out what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Publications, I really like City Lab. That's a cool one. I use what's Firefox's thing, their recommendation thing.
I don't know,
It's Pocket.
Okay.
Pocket. Cool. So like the algorithm's gotten really good at curating news for me.
Nice.
Medium digest email is a good one.
Cool.
Morning Brew is a good like update email thing. So I could go on forever about this, but like Reddit and Hacker News and message boards like that are really great for looking at new content as well.
That's awesome.
So
well, Nick, I've appreciated you coming on the show. This was great. This was Nick Routley, Visual Capitalist. Make sure you check out their website. Follow them. I'm really excited about this Yahoo graphic. It's coming out.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for it, and we'll see you next time on the Marketing Jam.
Thanks for listening to Marketing Jam. If you enjoyed the show, head over to our YouTube or Facebook and give us a thumbs up, and visit iTunes to leave a rating and review. Thanks again, and see you next time.